I gotta punctuate it. I said I loved your shirt, but behind your back I said I hate it. May lightning strike me down if I lie, me no one be around when my tongue's untied. Everybody says it's okay, all the little things I say with my big fat mouth. La 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 la.
Well, good morning. Good morning, church. Man, I have to agree with Pastor. You guys look great. But before we get going, can we give our worship team a round of applause? That was a great time of worship this morning. All glory to God. But I don't know about you all, but the Spirit was moving in this place, and I am so excited to be a part of this church family, a part of this community where we truly want to be the hands and feet of Jesus. We want to reach people and build lives. So again, welcome to Hillside Church. As Pastor said, my name's Mitch Cherry. I'm one of the leaders here, and I'm so excited to get the opportunity to teach from God's Word. If you're looking at me, I've sort of changed in appearance during this pandemic. For those that don't know me, I used to have a beard down here, and I just came back from vacation though, and we were on vacation for the last 2 weeks, and I feel refreshed. I just feel alive, so I'm hoping to bring it today. But I will say I threw the diet out the window while I was on vacation. And, you know, I started the Sabbath day one of vacation and just feasted the whole time. So all my hard work sort of went away, but be praying for me that I'll get right back on track and moving in the right direction. But as Pastor said, we've been on this excellent, I think really tremendous sermon series. In the last 2 weeks, I was still in community with you guys. Jen and myself took in service via online. So everybody online, I was in your shoes last week, and I've really enjoyed this message series. Pastor did a tremendous job week one and week two, where week one we covered complaining, all right? You know, all of us have complained. Some of you might be sitting thinking, oh, it's hot in here. You're complaining. Last week we looked at gossip. Now, come on, that's a doozy right there. Yeah, gossip. I think most of us get pulled into gossip in our workplace, if we're honest. And today we're going to look at something a little different. But if I can be just as transparent as Pastor, and maybe some of you aren't being as transparent, my big fat mouth gets me in trouble. While I was prepping for this message, I often like to have theme music. I don't know. I think it's the ex-children's pastor in me. I like having theme music. 9 out of 10 times, if I'm at the grocery store, I'm praying and there's like the final countdown or something in my head. Well, I tell you what, literally, while prepping for this message, one of my favorite artists is John Mayer. Don't judge me. I love him. Come on, if you don't love him, get on that train. He's fantastic. He's brilliant. And the theme song that I had was this, and maybe you know it. My stupid mouth has got me in trouble. That was my theme song the whole time prepping for this message. And come on, let's be transparent. Our stupid mouths, our big fat mouths, get us in trouble. I know as a children's pastor, I did this demonstration several times. And it's you take a tube of toothpaste and you squeeze it out, and then you challenge the kiddo to put all the toothpaste back in the tube and make it look like it looked before. Well, obviously, it's impossible. And see, our words, when they come out of our mouth, we can't take them back. There's no way of, you know, bringing them. Let me pull that back in. I'm sorry. You can apologize, but the sting is still there. And this is the thing. We are called to speak words of life. And so the whole focus and aim of this series is for us to understand that our words are powerful. There is power in our words. Our Creator, our God in heaven, our Jehovah Jireh, Yahweh, used words to create the heavens and the earth and you and I. And we are made in his image, so therefore Our words have power to them, have so much power to them. And we are called to speak life. So my question, are you speaking life? Are you speaking life? Well, today is week three of this teaching, and we are going to focus on criticism. Criticism. Come on. We all are guilty of it, criticism. But before we get going, of course, we're going to go to prayer. We're going to invite the Holy Spirit in on this. But I shared a quote last time I preached from Billy Graham. Come on, Billy Graham's the man. And the quote was, "The Holy Spirit convicts, God judges, it's my job to love." I'm going to focus, and it's a dangerous prayer, but I think for most of us on a sermon series like this, we're not honest with ourselves. We think that this message is for someone else, but we're going to invite the Holy Spirit to convict us today. Convict us today, because this message is for you. This message is for me. It's not for anyone else in our life. It's for us. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Holy Spirit, Father God, we know your presence is already in here, and I'm in complete all of it, and I just give you all the glory, and I thank you. But right now, Holy Spirit, we invite you to convict us. We invite you to pull on our heartstrings, to move us to evaluate or examine our own life, our own choices, the words that we're speaking, and the things that we're doing to others. Father, help us to ask the question, are we being a good model or a good version of Jesus? So Lord, I just pray for this message today, God. I pray that you will use it to move someone, perhaps to introduce someone to you for the very first time. But God, all glory goes to you. So Lord, speak through me. If I come up with anything funny or silly, let them forget it, but only focus on your truth, your peace, your grace, and your love. Father, we praise you, and we pray this in Jesus' mighty name. All God's people said, amen. Come on, one more time. All God's people said, amen. Amen, amen. All right, well, as we get going, normally, you know, I like the smartphone too, but I'm normally old school. I like the flipping of the pages, but forgive me, today's not one of those days. Unless you walked in here with the Message translation, which I highly doubt any of you did, and you won't see me open my Bible today, and that's because I didn't choose any NIV passages, so forgive me. My opening passage, the passage that I'm going to focus on, comes from Eugene Peterson's paraphrase, or better known as the Message translation. And we're going to be in Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5, and this is what it says. Don't pick on people. Jump on their failures. Criticize their faults, unless, of course, you want the same treatment. That critical spirit has a way of boomeranging. It's easy to see a smudge on your neighbor's face and be oblivious to the ugly sneer on your own. Do you have the nerve to say, "Let me wash your face for you," when your own face is distorted by contempt? It's this whole traveling road show mentality all over again, playing a holier than thou part instead of just living your part. Wipe that ugly sneer off your own face, and you might be fit to offer a washcloth to your neighbor. Amen. Come on. Amen. That's some deep stuff right there. Eugene hit it right on the dot, in my opinion. So where I'm focusing, though, there's a phrase in there, and it's a critical spirit. And right out the gate, I want you guys to realize and understand a critical spirit destroys relationships. Okay? A critical spirit destroys relationships. So you need to sit here and you need to ask yourself, do I have a critical spirit? Do you have a critical spirit? Do I have a critical spirit? Now, Webster's Dictionary defines the word critical as this: expressing adverse or disapproving comments or judgments. Do you find yourself casting judgment on anyone? For example, you leave church or work or a gathering of friends, and the first thing you do isn't to celebrate your time you just had, but rather the opposite. You begin to share with your spouse, your friend, or whoever you're with something about someone, negative, a judgment, something that just isn't healthy. See, we are created to be in relationship or in community with others. From the very beginning, that's how God intended it. If we're completely honest with one another, really, if we understand it, we're supposed to be in community with Jesus, in relationship with Jesus. But when we have a critical spirit or we open the door to become critical of others, we are missing the mark. Or as Pastor has said these last 2 weeks, we are missing expectations from God. See, God expects us to lead with love. See, Jesus himself showed us and taught us the way while he was on earth. We see it throughout the gospel. Jesus just had this swagger about him that we are to work at and try to live by each and every day. So I want you guys to think of your relationships, your marriage, your boyfriend or your girlfriend, your friends, your family, your parents, your children, etc. Are you speaking words of life? Or are you the critical one in the group? One of my wife's favorite authors is Lisa Turquist. I think I said it right. All right. And this quote, I love it. It says this: don't let compliments get to your head, and don't let criticism get to your heart. Now in Galatians chapter 5, verses 14 and 15 of the New Living Translation, it says this: for the whole law can be summed up in this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. But if you're always biting and devouring one another, watch out. Beware of destroying one another. See, we all know that particular person that's critical. And perhaps you're thinking about that person now, completely disregarding how I said this message is for you. But this message is for you, and most of the time, we are just out of touch or we don't realize it. We're so wrapped up in ourselves that we don't realize that we are, in fact, being critical to our spouse, being critical to our friends, or being critical to our children. I know that I am guilty of that one so much, more than I want to admit. But just maybe, this is something we can break once we become aware of it. See, most of the time, we don't realize it, but we need to be aware of it. You know, perhaps your mouth is destroying the intimacy in your marriage, or destroying the relationship with your kids, or it's actually created the sudden distance between friends. And let us not forget, this is the most important one, and it's dangerous, and I think it's what's wrong with the church as a whole today. Our critical spirit is damaging our ability to witness, our ability to share the good news of Jesus. I mean, if I'm honest with you, if I was a non-believer, if I didn't know Jesus, and perhaps I was somewhere else, I don't know, not this church, I ain't talking about Hillside, but perhaps I was somewhere else, and I didn't know who Jesus was, and people were just criticizing or judging me. I came into church with flip-flops on, or I came into church with, there's nothing wrong with that, but I just came into church, and people began to judge me, or began to think, oh man, what's going on with this guy? I know when I had a big beard, that happened more often than not, when I would visit a church or walk into a business. Jesus didn't have that spirit about him. We're called to love first. Lead with love. I have this quote I want to share from you. It's from a cool little book called 7 Words of Jesus and Mary, Lessons from Cana to Calvary. And the author, Fulton J. Sheen, puts it this way, and I believe it literally just makes that passage I opened up with, it makes us understand it so much more. Criticism of others is thus an oblique form of self-condemnation. We think we make the picture hang straight on our wall by telling our neighbors that all his pictures are crooked. Now, what's crazy about that is that if we're honest with ourselves, we live in a day and age where we have a lot more things that make it hard to live out the way of Jesus or to have speak words of life, not to have a critical spirit. And I'll be honest with you, the biggest tool that distracts us from that mission that we all share, is in most of our right pockets. And that device that's in our right pocket has this thing called social media. And I truly believe that social media is probably one of the biggest weapons of the enemy in today's culture and climate, okay? All social media does, you flip it open and there's division everywhere. That is the topic. That is what it's trying to push, divide, divide, divide. Where is the love? Now, perhaps you're lucky and your social media isn't like that. But what social media has created and has allowed a critical spirit to be stirred up inside us is this thing called the comparison trap. The comparison trap is something that the Facebook and Instagram literally shows you. And this is the thing, folks. People don't post their mess. People don't post their struggle. They only highlight the good things. You know, I can be transparent. Our vacation, we only posted some great memories, you know. Jenny may have snuck one or two pictures in where I looked absolutely ridiculous and was probably struggling. But honestly, most of us, we only post the things that we want people to see. And then we look at other people's things that they want us to see. And what we do is we compare. Oh, I want to look like that. I want to keep up with the Joneses. Oh my goodness, I want his haircut. I know I've been guilty of it. Come on, as a pastor, I'll look at other pastors and I'm like, man, that shirt is awesome. Where'd he buy that? You can ask Pastor Paul. I do it all the time and he calls me out on it. I'm thankful for it. But this is the thing, the comparison trap and jealousy can really stir up this critical spirit inside of us. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know about you all, there's no one that I want to be that has a critical spirit. I don't know a critical person that I want to be like. In Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18, it says this, some people make cutting remarks, but the words of the wise bring healing. Love that verse. And then Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, it says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. See, the words are so powerful. And I truly believe that sometimes, most of the time, we have no idea how much criticism can hurt someone's heart. But we also have no idea how God might use one single word to encourage someone. And he uses us to do so. Speak life. Now, in prep for this message, there's really two choices. What kind of person you're gonna be? Which do you want to be? Which type of person do you want to be? And the first choice is a fault finder. Everybody say fault finder. Oh, that was good. Fault finder. Now, this is the thing with a fault finder, okay? A fault finder could be someone who's criticizing their wife. My spouse chews so loud, or my boyfriend just does not walk right, or Lord have mercy, my pastor can't drive. I'm joking. Pastor Paul, he drives brilliant. Just kidding. or my boss doesn't run a meeting properly. Or can you believe the shows they watch? Wow. Should he be eating that? Or they just bought a new car, really? Do they really think they can afford that? I tell you today, stop it. All you're doing is doing yourself a disservice, and you're stunting your growth on your journey with Jesus. Now, and this is something else to put in perspective. Revelation chapter 12 calls the devil the accuser, okay? And if you are a fault finder, guess what? You are literally accusing your brothers and sisters who belong to God too, folks. And here's another comparison, and it's the comparison I want you to think of how Jesus thought of the Pharisees. But when we become a fault finder, we are being compared ultimately to the Pharisees because we're behaving just like they did. Read the gospel. You're pointing out faults, and ultimately this critical spirit swells up and you find yourself looking for what's wrong rather than enjoying what's right. So there's reasons why we might become fault finders or why we have developed this critical spirit. And there's a lot of it has to deal with one thing that we'll get to. But think of it this way. You might have a critical spirit. You might be a fault finder because it makes you look smart, okay? When you're in your circle, it makes you look smart because perhaps a friend, family member, spouse, whoever said something that was a little wonky, a little silly, maybe was not intelligent. I know I'm guilty of that all the time. I'll mispronounce a word or I'll do something wrong and people will immediately hit me with criticism. Or perhaps you do it, this is the number one, I'm this critical person. I am this fault finder a lot. I become a fault finder because it makes me funny. I know I'm guilty of it as work. I'll be transparent, and I know some of you are guilty of it too. Or perhaps it makes you feel better than. The last reason why someone might become a fault finder or develop a critical spirit, and this one you really have to be honest with yourself. We criticize because we are insecure with who we are. We criticize because we are insecure with who we are. Now the second choice or person we should be is called a hope sharer. A hope sharer. Say that, a hope. There we go, all right. This is the thing. The number one hope sharer that ever walked this earth, his name is Jesus, okay? Jesus led with love. Jesus shared hope, gave hope. His whole message was about hope, and it was beautiful, and it is beautiful. And when we're in relationship with him, it overflows from our heart, and we want to be like him. We want to strive to be like Jesus. That should be the passion that keeps each and every one of us taking each step that we take. In Romans chapter 15, verse 13, it says this, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11, Paul closed his letter out by saying, be joyful, grow in maturity, encourage one another, live in harmony and peace, then the God of love and peace and hope will be with you. We gotta be a hope sharer. Now, when I was younger, there was this bracelet that everyone wore. And you know, it may be corny now. I think I have a few at home. And most of you know it. What would Jesus do? All right, yeah, come on. I wore one and I was cool. But literally, the message, it may sound so simple, but what would Jesus do? There's now this new bracelet out and it's HWLF. He would love first. Jesus would love first. He wouldn't criticize. We never saw Jesus, you know, after he visited the woman at the well, he didn't go back to his disciples and go, can you believe what that girl was wearing? Man, she stunk. She should have bathed, not get herself water. No, he didn't say that. Every person with leprosy that he healed, Jesus did not walk away going, oh man, that was the worst case I've seen yet. Man, he stunk. Jesus didn't do that. He loved first. And when he came back and the disciples had a critical spirit, Jesus said, no, that is not the way that I'm trying to teach. But why are we so guilty of having this critical spirit? Why do we just get sucked into it? And I believe it's because the world's a mess, and the thing the world's missing is Jesus. And we are called to be the light to the world. We are called to practice the way of Jesus and then go out and share it with people. It's a job. It's a 24/7 mission. We can't take a moment off, because when we take a moment off, guess what? Those that are unchurched, those that don't know Jesus, that's the moment they remember. It's that moment we decide to take a day off. We are called 24/7 to be his hands and feet. So I close with some questions. I close with some questions today. And the first one is, who are you most critical of? Could be a people group, could be one person, could be your spouse. I hope it's not. But who are you most critical of? And the second one is, what relationship could your criticism be destroying? Now, question 3 and 4, switching gears here. Who can you begin sharing hope to? And the fourth one, you gotta strategize. You gotta understand this is eternity we're talking about. We're trying to get all our brothers and sisters to attend the same party, right? How will you do it? How will you do it? My last statement is, we are called to practice the way of Jesus, and he shared hope. He lived out hope. Will you? So as you sit here today, if you all could now, just close your eyes. I want to give a couple invitations today. And that first one is, perhaps you're sitting in here today and your eyes have been opened, your heart has been softened. Perhaps week one and week two are still hanging on you. And so now you throw criticism there and you are just feeling convicted. You are understanding, oh my gosh, I am critical. Oh my gosh, I complain all the time. Why do I gossip? Perhaps you're feeling that right now. And I just want you to repeat as a congregation at home, here in this room, let's repeat this prayer together. Dear God, I know my big fat mouth gets me in trouble. Jesus, I want to be like you. I want to be a hope sharer. Holy Spirit, help me. If you prayed that prayer today, would you just raise your hand if you feel that you have a critical spirit? Amen. Amen. Only Jesus can switch that. Only Jesus can change that. Now, with your eyes still closed, I have to give this invitation, because there's no greater gift than salvation. There's nothing better than being in relationship with Jesus. And so perhaps you're sitting in this room and your whole life you thought, I don't know about this Jesus guy. I've heard of him. But perhaps you're sitting in this room today, or you're at home watching, and you want to accept and receive the free gift of grace, salvation, for the very first time. As a church, let's support those people and let's say this prayer after me. Dear Jesus, I am a sinner and I am in need of saving. I believe that you are the Son of God, and I receive you as my Lord and Savior. If you said that prayer today, all around the room, at home, would you just participate by raising your hand right now? Amen. Amen. I'm going to close this with one last prayer, and then I'll be done for the day. Dear gracious God, right now we celebrate with you and we thank you. We thank you for decisions that were made, lives that will be changed, Father God. Lord, help us to leave here today motivated and excited to break this critical spirit, to start watching our big fat mouths so that we can reach one more, teach one more with the good news of Jesus. Father, I pray for each and every individual that made a decision for the first time to start a relationship with you, and I bless them in the name of Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Yahweh. We love you.